You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mahmood, and Seth Miller.
Hello, and welcome to episode 603 of Dots, Lines, and Destinations. I'm Stephen Seagraves, joined today by Mr. Seth Miller. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm good. I saw you at a mini truck meetup today.
We did. It was like 20 or so random K-Trucks, Oliver, the Seacoast, New Hampshire area, hung out at a farm for a couple hours. That's awesome. Great conversations.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. I obviously didn't get the memo and didn't dress up as festively as you. I don't have pineapples all over my shirt, but.
I'm trying to fill in the gap of Seth.
There you go. Range. Win some, lose some. Get my aloha on. Yes. Yeah, it was really cool. It was fun to actually finally talk to other people who do, you know, have a common hobby. It's a weird thing talking to people with your same hobbies, right? We never do that at all.
Never.
An hour and a half a week, at least.
Even better meeting up with people. And then I'm like, oh, you do this too? Oh,
yeah. It was pretty great. But got a lead on someone who can help me fix the suspension. So I'm excited for that.
That's awesome. Not too far away, hopefully.
No, right around the corner. It's actually interesting. One guy came up from Connecticut.
Oh, that's a heck of a drive.
Yeah, they have a trailer for it. Put it in the back of the trailer, came up. Anyway, that was random. But
now, Actes and K-Trucks, right? Like, it's different manufacturers, right? Like, there's
so K-Truck is the generic term. K-E-I is how we spell K, for those who don't know. Is sort of the generic term for the mini truck as imported from generally Japan. Honda makes the Acti. Subaru makes the Sambar. There was a few Suzukis there. I don't know what the model is on that. There were a couple others. There's some that, like, it's funny because they all look, you know, more or less the same. But when you know, you can see that there's like, well, this one has round headlights. That's an obvious difference. But like this one, you know, the headlights are two piece construction instead of one, or, you know, for the assembly and things like that. It's like weird little things you start to notice in the shape, and like the axis panel's in a different place when you get up close to it for the engine, which, bear in mind, the engine's in the bed. It's under the back, not in the front. So you pull the center of the bed open. I think the Subaru ones are actually the engines even further back. So you can actually have, like, the hood is a panel in the back that flips down.
Oh, interesting.
You can get to it without opening the bed up.
Yeah, yeah.
For at least part of it. But
I think it's funny. I don't know if you remember, but when you and I were in Seoul.
Yeah.
I took a picture with you with a K-Truck.
Did you?
Yeah, I have it somewhere. I'll find it.
That's
been 12 years, at least.
At least. And now I'm curious. It's been a long, long time. That was a long time ago. I believe it. I've always found them amusing and interesting and adorable. But
now you own one.
Now I own one.
We flew there because we were trying to get more 747 flights. I think it was mostly our goal. And it was cheap.
It was cheap. Yeah, we did San Francisco, Seoul.
Yeah, San Francisco, Seoul on a 744.
Yeah. Anyway.
So, interesting route news from United. They seem to get these pressers even bigger every time they do them for their route news. And this one seemed like a production.
Very much so.
Yeah. And they announced quite a few new routes. I think it's like 10 or 11 new routes.
10, I think, is what they confirmed. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm just going to go through them quickly and we can talk about them. After I go through all of them. San Francisco to Okinawa, March through October of 2027, three times weekly with the 777-200ER. Newark to Luxembourg, starting April 2nd, daily, and that will be year-round on an A321XLR. Dulles to Toulouse, starting April 26th, daily, year-round with an A321XLR. Newark to Ljubljana, Slovenia, starting May 12th, four times weekly through October 29th on a 767-400ER. Newark to Olbia, Italy, which is on the island of Sardinia, May 27th, three times weekly through September 21st, and that's with a 767-300ER, and that's the high J config of that plane. Newark to Catania, Italy, that's the island of Sicily, May 28th, four times weekly, and that goes through September 20th, and that's with the 767-300ER high J as well. Newark to Ibiza, Spain, four times weekly, starting May 31st, going through October 7th. That's with an A321XLR. Newark to Valencia, Spain, three times weekly starting June 2nd through October 6th with an A321 XLR. Newark to Marseille, France, June 4th going through October 29th, and that's daily with an A321 XLR. And then lastly, Newark to Terceira, Portugal, and that's in the Azores, with starting June 9th, three times weekly through September 5th, Boeing 737 MAX 8.
It's a lot.
It's a lot. Sorry it took so long. I wanted to give people the times a week, too, because I think that matters.
Yeah.
There's a lot of these that aren't daily service, but they add service to new places.
Sure. And I think, you know, seasonal, not daily service used to not be a thing at all. And no one, you know, was keen on it. And we've seen in the past decade or so, a very strong shift to that. It makes sense for the summer seasonal stuff, right? Like you make it work.
Really the net new stuff is Newark to Luxembourg daily year round. Yep.
And I say that one in the Dulles to Toulouse being year round is interesting.
Yeah. I mean, is there that much demand at Toulouse? I guess it's a 321 XLR. You don't really care. It's a 752 base.
It's the cheaper operating costs version of that. And by the way, you were right. It was 12 years ago we went to Korea.
I just took a guess. So. I mean, the Okinawa, super interesting. I think that's cool. Someone, a mutual friend of ours reminded me, because I was like, why did they pick Okinawa instead of like Sapporo, which is the new Chito's airport, which they are doing.
Military contracts?
Yeah. I think Okinawa's military contracts. Or it might be some visiting friends and family, people going back. I don't know. But it helps you skip Guam, which is nice.
It'll be way more efficient from that, you know, from the mainland over there rather than going through Guam.
Yeah.
And like the Continental Micronesia or United Micronesia operations now doesn't fly to Guam, Okinawa, right? Like they did a long time ago, but I think that's gone anyways.
Yeah. You had to go, I think now you have to go through Narita and then backtrack. I think it's the only way to get to Okinawa. So this is interesting. Luxembourg and Toulouse, let's just talk about those because they are daily year round. They're basically permanent routes.
Sure.
Newark to Luxembourg. It's pretty cool. I think that's an interesting use.
What I'm going to say is back in my day when you wanted the Luxembourg arrival stamp for your passport, you had to do it the hard way and fly via London City Airport because everything else was a Schengen flight.
Yep. Very true.
Believe it or not, Beardew 1 is when I got that stamp. So yeah, I have some memories there. It's 18 years ago. Anyway, I think that it's a thin route, but that's again what a 321 XLR is designed to serve. It's what the 752s were designed to serve. I think winter will struggle a little bit there. But it's a cool little place to visit. I think it adds a nice extra opportunity and sort of way to get to and from Europe. We'll have to see, you know, how the pricing plays out and how the awards play out. This is one of those areas where I feel like the shift in awards to much more dynamic, much more revenue driven pricing probably hurts because I would expect that there probably would be some level of award availability greater than not just because overall demand will be a little lower in a new market and in a, quite frankly, flights to a country, an airport that a lot of people haven't heard of.
Yeah.
Or absolutely. Don't think about.
They don't think about it. It's a tertiary destination that, you know,
yeah,
it's close to a bunch of other places, but I don't fly there.
If you're trying to get, you know, your vacation to Amsterdam or Brussels or Paris and you can't get seats to one of those and you can get to Luxembourg and hop on a train like for a couple hours, it's surprisingly well located.
It's a win. Yeah. I mean, I like it. I think I want to take it just to get that stamp. I still don't have the stamp. So,
I would say it's also interesting to me that they chose that in possibly, you know, there are other airports in the region that theoretically could handle longer flight. I think Rotterdam could handle the plane.
Yeah.
If they wanted to do a longer flight, right? So,
can it? That's a really short runway at Rotterdam.
Is it?
Yeah. Isn't that where we went? No, I'm thinking of Antwerp.
Thinking of Antwerp.
Rotterdam probably could. You're right.
Yeah.
Antwerp's like props only.
Antwerp does. It's only 7,200 feet in Rotterdam, so that'd be rough for the transatlantic. I mean, it's probably doable, but it's pushing some limits there.
Yeah.
Antwerp, I think, is even shorter. Antwerp's only 5,000 feet, but they did do some E90s out of there, if I remember correctly, at some one point. Like, that's TUI Fly, maybe, did some charters, like charter, but scheduled charter kind of things, vacation holiday stuff. Anyway, so I guess then Luxembourg makes some sense, again, trying to add capacity sort of into the region.
Central, northwestern Europe.
Yeah, it's a 13,000-foot runway. There's plenty of room to work there.
Yeah. Toulouse, from Dulles. Why Dulles over Newark, you think?
It connects Airbus's headquarters in the United States with their headquarters globally.
That's a stretch, I think.
I'm very flexible, what can I say? I agree. That's the best I've come up with, though.
I mean, I guess maybe there's some central France desire to travel from maybe Virginia. Like, that's tough for me. I still don't see the reason.
I think it may legitimately be that it's, similar demand to Luxembourg, and maybe this just the tiny bit of Airbus demand is a tipping point that pushed it to Dulles instead of out of Newark. Because if let's assume that 50% of the plane is connecting anyways.
Yeah.
In either case, you can route them through either Luxembourg or you can route them either through Newark or Dulles. If you've got something that tips your local traffic a little in one way or the other, why not?
Yeah, I guess it's not really central France either. It's like kind of like southern France.
Southern, yeah. It's southern, but not southern coastal.
Yeah. And it's, do you think it's closer to Dulles? No, it can't be.
No. Nah.
I can't, I don't think even with.
No, but. None of these routes on the XLR are all that long. And that's sort of one of the interesting conversations that's happening, right? Like I had the numbers here. Let me see if I still do. The longest, I thought I had them up. I don't see them now.
It's the longest Valencia, I think.
Yeah.
Or Marseille, one of those two.
Show me more details. Why doesn't my map show me? Oh, because I didn't have the dots. Sorry. They're small. They're smaller markets, are the shorter markets relative to what the XLR was initially teased as, right? It was teased as this, 4,700 mile range, and it's just not. The longest that United is going to operate is just under 4,000 is Toulouse at 3957, Marseille is 3925 from Dulles.
Okay.
And then you get Ljubljana, Olbia, Catania are longer routes. And in theory, Ljubljana or Olbia were inside the range, that 4,700 mile number. I actually think all of them technically were inside the range, but they were, very much towards the upper end of it. And so, like, I don't think those were going to happen ever. Catania is 4580. The other two are just over 4200. So, I just think from a sort of buffer and winds and everything else.
Yep.
Maybe Ljubljana or Olbia could have done it. Catania almost certainly not, but they're reasonably long flights for the type. They're longer than most of the 752 stuff they used to operate, right? Yeah. And recently United has scaled back 752s only to United Kingdom and Ireland, right?
That's pretty much, my understanding.
So, that makes some sense. There was, I think, Air Current, had a story basically saying that Patrick Quayle admitted they're being very conservative with the route selection here. And it's because they're a little worried about how things are going to play out, in reality, and is based on partly, the plane is very new. It's only got, less than a year of commercial operation so far.
Yep.
Maybe about a year. And a lot of transatlantic, but the other operators and what Airbus is telling people is not quite getting to 4,700. So, and right, we heard this JetBlue use that as an excuse to delay its deliveries. Frontier uses an excuse to switch from XLRs back to LRs or just NEOs, I think. There's been some discussion about this, some sort of grumblings about this. Obviously, I think no one, asterisk on no one, but no one ever operates these truly at the limits. But you, even accounting for that, whatever the limit was, you get your range and you scale back and scale back until you find the stuff that works. So,
yeah. Ljubljana. That's an interesting one to me. And it's being done with a 764, you know, which is 34 J seats, 24 premium economy, and 173 coach seats.
Yeah. Is that, that's not daily, right?
It's not daily. It is okay. A 4 times weekly flight. It's super, right. It's kind of a niche market. It's up there with like Dubrovnik. It's up there with, I would say Split, like those type of destinations. It's not beachfront though, which is interesting to me.
There's a little river that runs through the center of town though. That's adorable at night.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I spent a night there, Stockholm do. I love that I can date all the, like, all my trips to random European places based on our beer trips. But yeah, that I went home from that one via Berlin, Ljubljana, and Skopje, and then Istanbul, and then flew home. But I was able to do 23-hour layovers in Berlin, Ljubljana, and Skopje.
Nice.
And it was a one-way ticket. Stockholm to Istanbul was like 8,500 points or 7,500 points and $50, and I got to visit 4 cities.
That's awesome.
Yeah, can't do that anymore. Sorry.
It looks like a cool city. I don't know what the drive is, that like the driver for United is on this one. I guess if people want to go there and they've seen some demand connection wise from, you know, connecting people through Munich or Frankfurt or whatever into those places, maybe they see it's worth flying 4 times a week. Okay.
Yeah.
Newark to Olbia on Sardinia is kind of wild to me with a high J763, 3 times weekly. I don't get it.
Do you dislike that one more than you dislike Ibiza?
The Ibiza one, I'm like, okay, it's like millennials or even what Gen X or whatever's next after me, going there. I don't know.
Okay. It's not entirely a party scene. It's a lot of party scene, but it's not only that.
But I guess Olbia makes some sense to me. Like it's not in Sicily. It's slightly different destination than going to mainland Italy.
Yep.
And no one else is doing it. So that from that aspect, I get it. Maybe I get the next one a little less, Catania on Sicily, which is, it's kind of like opposite sides of Sicily from Palermo, which they already do. And they do that 4 times a week as well, 3 times a week. They're also doing it on a high J 767 300ER. This one I understand less, I guess is my point.
Yeah, I guess that sort of we started with, I think less than daily service to strong leisure markets remains a compelling business for the summer. I mean, people, and we also joked about, you know, if you look at United's destinations, they are, especially the summer ones, they're all south. I mean, Ljubljana excluded, right? Catania.
Which is still pretty south.
Yeah, and Ljubljana is relatively south, but right, but it's not. But Toulouse, Marseille, Olbia, Valencia, Catania, Terceira, whatever.
I'm glad that you're struggling just as much as me. I'm
yeah.
Makes
you're just sense. Happy I actually went out and did it and embarrassed myself like you did. But right, almost all of them are coastal. Like I said, Ljubljana's not, Toulouse is not, but they're beachish, summerish destinations.
Yeah, so. Delta flies JFK to Catania.
Okay.
Is Catania the one that has the issues with the mountains?
I don't know.
There's one that's, maybe it's on mainland Italy, where it just like the runway length is a lot shorter.
Is that Florence?
No, maybe it's Florence. I don't know. Anyway, I just think it's interesting that Delta flies there as well. And then Ibiza, I mean, 4 times a week on an A321 XLR. It's like, again, it's not really a stretch. Like, I think you can fill that plane 4 times a week, no problem. I think people will take it in the summer. It's a party destination. That one kind of makes sense to me. Valencia, Spain. I swear United is going to fly to every dirt strip in Spain that they can. It's going to be like the Mexico to Houston flights.
Yeah, I was going to say, they got to use XLRs instead of 145s.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they fly so many places in Spain now.
Yeah, they may actually made a point in the release, I think, of saying they have the most destinations of any U.S. airline to Spain.
Yeah. So 3 times weekly, again, I don't think they're going to have trouble. I know people who go to Valencia.
And yeah.
So
when we ended up in Malaga last January, Valencia was an alternative I looked at.
Yeah. I mean, this wouldn't operate then, but
yeah,
fun to think about.
Same. It was a place that seemed worth visiting for, you know, some holiday-ish time. Again, the other thing I will say is looking at all of these markets and, you know, what we know of Spain, of Europe and getting around, for people who want to have flexibility in their travels, it really does open up options of, like, visit a couple different places.
Yeah.
Hop a train or a short, cheap flight between them. As you start looking at things, like, there's a overnight train ferry from Catania that, like, goes over to the tip of the boot, goes up the coast of Italy. Toulouse or Marseille, you've got lots of options. Valencia, you've got lots of options. And again, you can do open jaws if you wanted to stay and get nonstops both ways to and from the United States. There's some value there.
Yeah. Marseille daily. I mean, daily makes sense for seasonally.
Yeah.
I think there's enough demand there. Like, people go to the south of France. That's a thing. They enjoy it. And then lastly, Terceria, in the Azores, 3 times weekly on a max 8. Like, this is not premium heavy, and it's a fairly short route, right? Like, it's probably 4.5 hours on a plane.
Yeah.
Get there. I think it kind of makes sense. I think there's enough traffic. I mean, it used to be the Azores was kind of like flyover country, and now it seems like people want to go there.
I understand why. It's beautiful. I just, you know, hope we don't destroy it.
And my understanding is there's quite a few Azores residents in, like, the New Jersey area.
Sure. And so that was, you know, we learned a lot about that. Anyway, now there's that. There's a bunch up actually by me, too.
Yeah.
Big population in the Boston, Rhode Island area.
Which is why, what is the airline from Azores, SATA? Or
yeah.
What are they now?
Azores Air.
Azores Air flies those routes, Boston to Ponta Delgada and things.
Yeah. I used that last year. It's pretty nice. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, some of this makes sense. Like, I'm not criticizing United at all. I think one of the things that came out of the release and then some interviews with Kirby is they see themselves, United sees themselves as a lifestyle brand, and they use that wording in the interview. And these routes come across as.
Sure. And I, even if United isn't a lifestyle brand, and I think that's we'll say an interesting choice for an airline to say, and Delta used that argument previously, and we actually had some discussions offline about whether Delta, you know, abdicated that role, if they ever really held it, if it's a thing that airlines should care about, whatever. But, like, in the world of Instagram perfect travels, if you're an airline, you have to make sure you're taking people to the Instagram perfect destinations.
Yep. And these are all Instagrammable destinations.
Yeah, right. Like, I talked to another guy in the industry a lot who helps with on the, we'll say, travel inspiration side of the business. And a huge bit that they are pushing super, super hard, they've invested a lot of money in and whatnot, is making sort of content that helps inspire those travels. And it's the, you know, he calls it swipeable nuggets. It's a blend of TikTok and Instagram now. But you want those short videos that show off the perfect whatever, whatever. And, you know, I see friends taking their teenage kid to Indonesia or Bali and doing, like, the giant swing that goes out over nothingness and, like, all that stuff. Yeah, that's what people are looking for.
Yeah.
Even me to an extent. I mean, not all of it. I'm usually off season, but I like going to these places.
I mean, I like some of these places. Like, I would go to some of these places. Ljubljana has been on my list for a really long time to visit. Yeah. I really have wanted to visit Ljubljana.
Yeah, I'd go back.
Luxembourg, just for the stamp and just walk around and see
again, that was I landed and did a evening there, stayed over at a hostel, and then got on a train the next morning to go to Brussels. But, like, it's a neat little downtown. It's cute.
Yeah. I think I struggle with some of the Instagrammable stuff because I think it whittles travel down to, like, these, like, pockets of, like, 5 minute experiences. And I don't love that for the locations, nor as, like, a travel.
Sure.
And for me, it's not fun. So anyway, all that to say, I think that they've met their goal of making these lifestyle destinations available to their customers.
Yeah.
And I it fits with their comments. The other thing that Kirby said, and so we're going to kind of jump around here a little bit, but I think this statement that he made will impact another story we're going to talk about. Kirby made a statement on Chicago O'Hare. And he made a prediction that AA is about to give up on it and leave.
you know, if you say things enough, you can manifest them to be true. He also said that he thought it'd be a great hub for United if they could get 1,000 daily flights there.
That sounds awful.
At so many levels, let's be clear, like American at DFW, I think, is just pushing 800, 850, maybe, right? I don't know Atlanta for Delta, but I would imagine it's actually a little less. I think it's actually a little less than that somehow, right? No one is doing 1,000 flights a day from a hub.
Yeah.
I mean, just like wrap your head around the math of that, of like 16 usable hours in the day and how many departures that is, and like how many places can you go in this. And that is the Kirby's argument to an extent is we'd love to fly to more places and we'd love to show, you know, a range of options that would better support Chicago. And that's why people in Chicago should be cheering for us to become a monopoly here, because once, you know, once we kill off American at Chicago, we'll be able to use that space to fly to a bunch of additional different destinations that right now what you get is two different airlines serving the same place because everybody's going where the, you know, greater demand is. But once we can own that demand, we didn't say it that way, but once we have monopoly on the useful demand, we'll add the secondary or tertiary markets, which is like, I understand that from the business perspective. It doesn't make sense to me as a great thing as a passenger necessarily.
And what he doesn't talk about is price. Like, and then we control the price and the price of those tertiary markets.
Right.
So I find, I mean, I kind of agree with your like willing it into existence. He's done this before. Like he's made statements.
Yeah.
Where he's like trying to suggest what should happen rather than the realities of what is happening.
Sure.
And I mean, he sent out an email and it was like made it on Reddit. He sent out an email today and people are like, can Scott Kirby just chill a little bit? Like, can he just?
Oh yeah. The United sent a like public, we're celebrating 10 years of our CEO.
Yeah.
Statement to like all the travelers. Like that is a weird thing. We don't need to deify is the wrong word, but like.
It comes off. I don't want to say it, but he comes across very Trumpish. Like all of the things that he's been saying has been like very like I'm in charge and this is amazing, but on an airline scale.
Yeah.
it's weird. But I mean, I think his comments about O'Hare, I think people need to like think about it, because United owning O'Hare means that there's less competition. There's less price.
Sure.
Competitiveness overall. That's not a good thing, I don't think, especially for a market the size of Chicago, yeah, which has a huge catchment area of, you know, northern Indiana, northwestern Indiana, down into Springfield, Illinois, up into Wisconsin. Yeah. I like, it's not good if it's just United there.
Yeah.
So.
Well, it's okay. Southwest will be over on the south side.
Yeah. I heard a comedian talk about Midway. They're like, you know, we should build another airport in Chicago. Where should we put it? Well, let's put it right in the middle of this neighborhood. It would be amazing, right? We're going to make the runways really short. And so anyway.
To be fair, I mean, I would like to believe that the airport went in before a lot of those houses. Maybe not all of them. But
it's true. So American, while all this is going on with Kirby, has announced some new summer routes as well. I think all of these are seasonal.
Chicago to Narita, which they previously announced, but they bundled in, is year round, but I think the rest are seasonal. Yeah.
Yeah. So Charlotte to Barcelona, Spain starts May 27th on a 777-200ER. That one is kind of makes sense. It's a really big plane for the market. I get it. You probably can fill that plane even with connections on, you know, whoever. And then Chicago Narita starts March 19th. That is a 787-9. JFK to Amsterdam starts March 28th, and that's with an A321 XLR. This is kind of like JetBlue-ish, I would say, right? Like this is competing with them.
JetBlue flies the route. We forgot to mention United's, the first XLR routes are going to be long haul. They're going to do some domestic stuff in September, which will actually be the airlines aircraft's entry into service for the type. And then you've got, Dulles to Amsterdam and Dublin in the winter before the big stuff ramps up.
Gotcha.
Just FYI. Yeah. You know, like JFK Amsterdam, I mean, sure, JetBlue, but also KLM and United and Delta.
Yeah. Yeah. And then JFK to London Heathrow, fourth daily flight.
That's on IJ 787.
IJ 787 starts March 28th. JFK to Nice, France starts May 6th, and that's with an A321 XLR. Philadelphia to Porto which is a new route for Philly. It's great. Yep. Starts March 28th, A321 XLR. Philly to Reykjavik, May 27th. That's with an A321 Neo. So that's going to get domestic seats, right?
Yep.
And then Philly to Vienna starts May 6th, and that's with an A321 XLR.
So a few different ones there. Nice has a strong premium demand, especially in the summer. There's a Newark to Nice nonstop on La Compagnie, the all business 321 Neo. So they'll be competing against that, but I would not be surprised to see American do reasonably well having, you know, from the JFK side and whatever. What else we got here? Keflavik, going back to Iceland. Sure. Fine. There's always demand there. Love it.
Porto.
I like Porto, as a market. I'm flying TAP home from Porto, or I'm currently scheduled to. There's some debate as to if I switch it. In a couple of weeks when I go over for a conference in Lisbon, I did it last year. That's how I actually ended up on Azores Air. If you want to access the Portuguese market at this point and you're a US carrier that needs slots that work for morning arrival and departure, Lisbon is done. Lisbon is packed. You can't get in there. So Porto is the alternative. United went there last year or the year before and then added Faro, which is at this very southern tip, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
But I think at this point, adding Porto flights, Porto is the destination more people in America, I think, have heard of rather than Faro, and it has space. It has capacity. So that makes some sense to me.
And there's a train from Porto to
between the two, yeah. It's about 3 hours.
Yeah. And it's
and like if you buy in advance, it's like €20. It's cheap.
Then I think it's here's a question I have for you. Does United fly to Nice?
Or I don't remember.
Company.
I will look, but United's got the Marseille flight, which is, you know, 100 miles away.
And that's what I was going to ask is what's the difference between those two and why did United go for Marseille while American went for Nice, in your opinion?
It's about 100 miles between the two as the crow flies. I don't know. I would imagine United sees more of the competition at Newark from the La Compagnie and is choosing not to take it.
Gotcha.
But no, United has Newark and Dulles to Nice during summer 2027.
Oh, so they do have it.
They do have it. Sorry. Daily from Newark and a few times a week from Dulles.
Wow.
So Marseille's an ad.
I mean, that's a lot of lift to two places that are 100 miles apart.
Yeah. High J 763 from Newark, low J 763 from Dulles.
Kind of crazy.
Southern France, man. It's, you know, right on the med, so at least when you're burning up, you can jump in the water to cool off.
Slightly?
I'm trying. The Philly to Vienna is an interesting one to me. Best I can tell, it will be the longest scheduled XLR flight when when it enters service.
Oh, wow.
And it's just over 4,300 miles, great circle, dot to dot. So, you know. Will it be weight restricted? Will it be blocked seats, et cetera? We'll have to find out. But that one is coming. And compared to United's statement of we are concerned about the range on these, we're going conservative with the operations, Philly went less conservative. Or Philly, American went less conservative, right? They picked this Vienna route that some of the other ones are a little longer.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. I will say Indigo also has Amsterdam to Mumbai. Filed.
That's not going to happen, right? I thought they were.
Well, they filed it on the XLR because they were going to start running them themselves after the, you know, they learned about how to run flights to Europe on the Norse 787s, but they got rid of the Norse 787s. And so will this stick around? Who can say? You know, if they operate it, they have to fly around Ukraine and Russians airspace. And so that's going to add some distance to the ops.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably end up flying a further actual distance than Philly, Vienna. But I don't know. Honestly, that's one of those that even if they wanted to, like, do the economics still work with fuel prices as high as they are and needing to act extra distance and flight time to make it happen and shifting demand?
Yeah. I find, so Vienna, I want to go back to that because that's the only one that doesn't seem like it's year round. I think it ends in January of 2028. Well, so.
And January is a weird, long season.
Yeah. like, why keep it that long, I guess?
They tease Christmas markets, which, I mean, I guess Vienna has them too. I've been to Vienna a few times. It's a fun, it's another old European history town to visit if you're there. The church, there's a church like, a monastery, like a half hour north, where actually a mutual friend of ours works, preaches from. I'm hoping to see him in November. It's actually the history in that monastery is well worth taking the local train up for the hour and doing it, if you happen to be in the region. But I don't know. It's a weird choice of like off peakish shoulder season destination.
Yeah. And there, I mean, that's in addition to Prague and Budapest, which are two destinations that United hasn't decided to fly.
Yeah.
Which I find interesting. Like, Budapest is a really cool city.
Yeah.
Prague is very cool too, but Budapest is like super interesting from the perspective of like just the Danube and everything being right there. So I'm intrigued. Intrigued.
And neither Budapest nor Prague are not Instagrammable.
Yeah.
Right. There's plenty of, I think they are more established markets, which, you know, good. You know, people have heard of them, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. I can see on United saying, like, other people are already there. We don't need to bother. These are markets, the newer ones where we think we can get even more premium. But
yeah. 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 I'm trying to figure out like what they're thinking. I mean, maybe it's, yeah, I don't know. Anyway.
Can I throw one other, I didn't put it in the notes here, but there's one other route that I find interesting. Bermuda Air, announced, this is the Bermuda E190 operator, or 175s and 190s. They did an announcement a couple weeks ago now, but one of the things they announced is, and I had no idea it even existed, there's a second airport in Turks and Caicos.
Did not know that.
It's like on South Caicos or South Turks or something like that. South Caicos. Twice weekly nonstop flights. The Solterra Resort and Spa is some uber fancy resort operation that's on the South Island there. And up until now, the only way to get there basically was a private jet or flying to the main airport and like, I guess, ferry or something. But it's, they basically, it would seem that this flight is operating specifically to feed resort guests. Huh. And, I assume someone is helping subsidize the route launch to make that a thing. I can't prove it. I haven't asked anybody, but, plus they're going to fly to Providenciales in Turks and Caicos from Newark, Boston, BWI, Raleigh, Fort Lauderdale, St. Petersburg, PIE, not Tampa, which is the mostly an Allegiant operation, and Toronto, all this winter. So big investment in Turks and Caicos. And apparently one day a week, the, one of the flights from Newark to South Caicos does a tag flight onward to Providenciales, maybe. There's, one weekly direct service to Providenciales from Newark, and then one nonstop.
Huh.
So there's some real interesting stuff going on with how they're routing the planes around.
Maybe a Caribbean or Bermudian island hoppers in our future.
Yeah, there you go. If we really want to do a Caribbean island hopper, Air France is the way to go, you know.
I know, we should do that too.
But I will say Bermuda Air is doing a lot of these routes. If I remember correctly, they can do Turks and Caicos because it's also both that and Bermuda are considered, part of the United Kingdom.
Mm.
And so they have those route authorities without having to work at it. Which helps, but, there's a lot of markets here that are marginal. But it's small planes. So maybe that helps. I don't know. I mean, and they've positioned themselves as a premium airline. And so they're not selling, you know, discount seats. They're selling it at a premium fare, but you get your nonstop, you know, from BWI right where you're going.
Yep. Yeah.
So
that is interesting. In kind of disgusting news, there was a story in the LA Times about a group that offers, it's basically the food supplier for a bunch of airlines, Lufthansa, Air France, Singapore Airlines, Qantas, Virgin Atlantic, Air New Zealand. And it is called, I'm trying to find the name here, excuse me.
Is it Gaker?
Flying Food Group, has exposed, there's been a complaint to OSHA in California saying that they have exposed workers to health hazards and unsanitary conditions inside their facilities, preparing food for preparing thousands of meals for airlines. And it's not good. It sounds really gross. And yeah, there's moldy food, and people have said there's lots of stuff going wrong in these places. So the complainant has said there's a lot of problems.
Yeah, there's I don't doubt the veracity of the claims. It's also a very aggressive, let's say, union versus employer battle been going on there for a couple of years now.
Yep.
And so that is certainly part of it. They put out a press release during the World Cup about an investigation that was happening and charges, or LA City investigation happening and some other stuff. So there's a lot of drama there beyond questionable food safety hygiene.
Yeah. I mean, to be very clear, like Unite Here Local 11, which is the union group that I guess represents the workers, has filed a number of complaints over the facility in Inglewood. So, there's a lot to unpack here. There's a bunch of fines that have gone out. And so it's just something interesting, I think, because it touches so much. They touch a lot of food. So something to keep an eye on. I know there's been catering issues at some other airports as well, not with them, but just in general.
Got to wonder if airlines are regretting having sold off their in-house catering at some point.
Yeah, like would United be happier if they controlled that pipeline?
Could they go back to Chelsea Catering?
Yeah. I mean, at San Francisco, I think they're regretting some of their decisions and the changes that they've done.
It's one of those things where ostensibly you save money by outsourcing, but what do those savings cost you in operational reliability, in consistency, and being able to deliver your product, all those things?
Yeah. I think the San Francisco issue, right, is that they still can't get like well-timed catering done from the facilities, even though it's been almost a year, I think, since they switched caterers. And I think Americans had the same issue with like Heathrow. Like they had to switch back and forth. They were doing different things, getting bad quality out of one caterer. They moved to Doe & Co. It's supposedly getting better. We'll see, you know, what happens.
Yeah.
Last up, before we go to the bonus topics, there was a low pass by Airlink in South Africa over a rugby game in Cape Town today. We're recording this on Saturday the 29th. That might be the lowest pass I've ever seen over anything ever. It makes that Qatar cargo plane that was painted in Qatar cargo colors in Texas seem like they were pretty high.
What about the Blue Angels over the beach in Pensacola?
Oh, that's nothing compared to this. Like, this is, dude is 7 feet off the top of this rugby stadium.
Yeah, I saw one of the videos you shared, and it looks like, I mean, the gear was up, but if the gear was down, it might have clipped the building. Like, it looks like it's that close.
Yes, it's insane.
It drew some attention. And apparently this is like, they did it last week also, but were like much higher.
Yeah.
So
the pilots in there going, how tall is the stadium again? Oh, we're getting a little too close. We should probably decide.
Yeah. A little bit like the Iceland Air pilot retiring who buzzed his hometown.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that we'll see. Maybe we'll see some disciplinary action, but I don't.
Yeah. No, that was, I mean, I guess the good news is there's no passengers on it to be scared, but
it was a whole stadium full of people
who didn't know it until it was that right there, though, right? Like the way the stadium's designed, you can't really see out the top.
Yeah.
I mean, you can. It's got a bit of an overhang and then a hole in the middle, so you can only see when something's right overhead.
Yeah.
I imagine they heard it coming, though.
They heard it coming, and it would have just filled your view. Like, one plane would have just been, like, your entire view when you looked up.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Have you seen any videos from inside the stadium yet? I've only seen the outside ones.
I haven't seen anything from inside the stadium. Okay. Someone on Reddit was like, who knows, next we'll see a video from inside the cockpit.
Yes. Guys adjusting the cameras like, we're a little close.
We were a little low.
Yeah, that was spicy.
Yeah.
Sporty.
Yeah, sporty. Yeah. Anything else we want to chat about before we jump to the bonus topics?
Nah, I think we're good.
So we're going to talk about some Qantas A380s. We're going to talk about Korean low-cost carriers, Air India needing some cash, and then some other news. So stick around for that if you're a Patreon supporter.
Subscriber.
Yeah, subscriber. I was trying to figure out the word. If not, we will talk to you next time. Thanks for listening. Happy travels.
Take care.